Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
Scott McKay is away this week. Filling in for him is the politics economics reporter for WPRI.com, Ted Nesi. Thank you for joining us, Ted.
Great to be back, Ian.
And we're pleased to welcome the chairman of the House Finance Committee, Marvin Abney, a Newport Democrat. Thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
The State Department of Revenue reports this week that state revenue for the first 9 months of the current fiscal year is 2% below expectations. If that gap holds up, Chairman Abney, will the state be able to pay for initiatives like starting a car tax phase out and introducing a free college tuition program?
Well, I think, first of all, we're dealing with projections, and we're really not going to know for another several weeks or so what the real numbers are. But I do think that begs the bigger question of, if in the economic environment that we're in now, are we going to be able to do a couple of big things? And what I say is that the things that are important, as we prioritize them, I think we'll get them done. But I think it's going to take a lot of work on both sides to make sure it stays within the budget as a whole, because that's where my perspective comes in. It's not just one single item, but it's the entire budget that I look forward to. But I'm not going to know the exact numbers until they come in. At that point, I'd be able to answer that question a lot more.
Right, and we're expecting more definitive details with the State Revenue Estimating Conference on May 10th. How do you see the outlook, Ted?
Well, I think it's certainly more challenging than I think a lot of people in the legislature and some of the reporters thought a few months ago, when it seemed like there was a steady rise and revenues were continually coming in higher than projections, which always left a little more money for the chairman to make some people happy at the end of the session. So I think it makes everything harder. A lot of us were thinking a couple months ago that, you know, if enough extra money came in, you could give Speaker Mattiello the car tax, give Gina Raimondo the start of the free tuition plan, and you could still balance things fairly easily. There is always a way if the chairman and his colleague wants to do it, but it won't be as simple as we might have thought around Christmas time.
And how about you, Maureen? How do you see it?
Well, my question is, given the numbers that we know now, and we are talking about these two fairly sizable initiatives, the question is there any compromise? And obviously, the compromise that the governor has offered is one that seems more feasible. Yet, when you're talking about including certain big initiatives, the car tax phase-out is huge. And so I think that would be a real challenge to include that in the budget, whether or not some of the other initiatives took place.
Include the car tax in the budget,
right?
Or include, well, you know, I can remember when the school formula, for example, several years ago, we were working on that. People thought, boy, this is going to be a real hard thing to do. But if we put our minds to it, I think we can find ways to make those kinds of things work. It's not easy. And I agree with, you know, with the numbers coming as they are, we're really going to have to take a look at that. And obviously, there has to be, I think, some kind of compromise on any bill that comes before. But it is going to be a challenge to be able to get that done, in addition to make sure that the things we're doing works.
Well, speaking of these top priorities, Chairman Abney, back in March, you offered strong praise for Governor Raimondo's college tuition plan when she stumped for it at Rogers High School in your fair city of Newport. You called the college tuition plan a great idea and told students, quote, "We will find a way to make things work for you." So are you committed to including the governor's tuition plan in the final version of the House budget?
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that there's been a little bit of a misunderstanding of communication of that. It is true. I stood next to the governor at Rogers High School when she was there talking about the college education plan. But I stood next to her telling these students in high school that it is a good idea that you need some kind of education beyond the high school thing. And I said to them that, you know what, in the General Assembly, we get a number of proposals that may help do that. And we generally find a way to make those proposals work. But I specifically said, though, as I recall, that as the chairman of the House Finance Committee, I'm not committing to one plan or the other, because these plans come before my committee. And the one thing I've tried to do over the last year or so is make sure that people believe that when there's a bill or when there's a project before us, that we look at it objectively and look at it within the view that it is. So I would say, again, that the concept is not bad, of making sure that kids can do that. But a specific plan is a whole different story. So I don't know what happened until I see the entire plan in and of itself.
But isn't there a leadership and political aspect to that? When the Speaker of the House has said, for example, he's been very hostile to this program and made these hypothetical assertions that it could cost as much as $100 million. That doesn't sound to me like this bill has a lot of legs on it in terms of this particular political environment. We're talking 10 to start and 30, you know, about 30 million when it's fully implemented. Sounds to me like he's really hostile.
Well, I don't know that he's hostile. I would say I think it's a good thing personally. This is just Marvin Abney, not the chairman, speaking in that regard. I don't think it's a bad idea to have leaders who look at the same situation, and they may not look at it at exactly the same way. It causes a lot of discussion to take place to make sure that we get it right. Now, as I've said before, I don't think that it's a bad idea, but I do think that over a period of time, you have to be able to compromise on some things. And I don't think he's just dead set on not looking at it as something that may be helpful. But I do think that we have to look at it in terms of the budget that we're going to have.
We're a little short on time here, so we're going to move on to our next issue. As Maureen said, House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello has made clear that his priority is beginning a phase out of the car tax. Completely eliminating the car tax would take upwards of $215 million each year, and the state has been down this road once before. Ted and I have reported on that, and then the state backtracked. So it seems every year the legislature returns and there's a new deficit every year. Is it foolhardy to think the state can really fully eliminate the car tax without that coming back to bite lawmakers in the future?
Yeah, I think you made a good point. As it is with the college free plan, as most people think that it is. But in my district, when I talk to people, it's quite clear that any tax that's eliminated. Now, we're talking the political part of it, not the economic part of it. But any tax that we have, most people want those taxes gone. We're just in an environment,
of course,
where people don't want taxes at all.
And sure, but is it realistic to completely wipe it out?
I think over time, as I mentioned about the school issue, I think over time when people realize that the taxes that are paid is coming back, it's something they don't have to pay, that makes a difference. And it's not easy, because each city and town has a different way of sending out notices for taxes. So we're working on all of that.
But you seem a little bit noncommittal, but let's get Ted in here. Ted, we're familiar with the history here. How do you see the outlook on the car tax issue? Perhaps Speaker Mattiello has gotten pretty far out on this, and is there any wiggle room on this?
Well, that's what's interesting. I mean, he has not left himself wiggle room. It's absolutely clear to me. He says $40-ish million in this fiscal year's budget, and in that amount, in increasing amounts, till 5 years from now, it's $220 a year. That's about $2 billion over a 10-year period. And I haven't heard him backtrack in any way on that. But as you say, Ian, the revenue picture, you know, you're looking at $200 million without that in future years, or without most of that cost built into it. So, again, there's always a way in a 50-something billion-dollar economy. There's always a way you can make these things work if you really want to. But someone else's ox might get gored, and then you might hear from them if the pips squeak.
Quick final comment here from Maureen.
The interesting thing about this is it really has pitted the speaker against the governor, because they've come out very strongly in these different positions, and it's almost put him in a box where it's going to be harder for him to compromise. But it seems to me that's the only way out of this, but we'll have to wait and see.
Stay tuned as all this shakes out in the 2 months to come. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable. Ted Nesi from WPRI.com.
Thank you, Ian.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And the chairman of the House Finance Committee, Marvin Abney.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, follow our website at ripr.org.